Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and we will get started here. So, Father, we just thank you for our time today. Lord, I just invite your presence to come and just to fill this place. God, I pray for your presence to rest on each and every one of us. Lord, whether we're sitting here in person or someone is watching this through an electronic device, God, I pray that your spirit would just rest on us right now. God, I pray that you would just be opening our hearts and minds to what you want to do, that you would just be speaking to us, God, that you would be showing us things. Lord, that you would just be working and moving in us wherever we are, wherever our situation is, whatever our circumstances are. I pray, God, that we would have an encounter with you today that would transcend our situation and just meet us where we are, ministering to us, answering our questions, giving us revelation, or just thoroughly blessing us as we come into your presence. Whatever it is, God, whatever our need is, I pray, Lord, that you would just come. Come have your way in our time right now. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we looked at times when God does things that we don't understand, or we don't see what he's doing, or even where he is in the situation. Last week, I shared how God had used my personal finances to do a work in my heart, in my mind, and teach me things about money, and about blessing, and about faith. Today, I want to continue this, but I want to move off of the financial aspect of this and focus on what he's doing in some other ways. Last week, I looked at the story of Jesus healing his friend Lazarus, who had become ill. Jesus had gotten word that Lazarus was ill, but instead of going to him right away as soon as he hears that Lazarus is sick, to go and heal him, Jesus waits 2 days before he even goes there. Then, after 2 days, he decides to go. And he's going to go back to where he had already been. He's going to go back into the area that he had just left, and he's going to go back into that area. And the thing about going back to that area is going back, when he was back in that area, people wanted to kill him there. And now he's going to go back into that area. And so his disciples didn't understand this. It's like, how come you're not leaving right away to go, and how come we're going back to a place where your life was in danger? And so this confuses disciples, but they accept this and they go, and by the time they get there, Lazarus is already dead. In fact, he's been dead for 4 days now. And Jesus is greeted by Lazarus' sisters with, if you had just been here while he was still alive, you could have healed him, and he wouldn't be dead now. And even the crowd that was there was saying the same thing. You know, couldn't Jesus have healed this man? So as the story progresses, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, even after he'd been dead for 4 days. And the thing about it is, you know, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. He was just following his Father in the situation. A resurrection would bring more glory to God than just a healing. I mean, a healing is miraculous, yes, but to raise someone from the dead after they've been dead for 4 days, now that's miraculous. And so, but the whole thing about this situation was God was working in the situation to increase the faith of the people because their faith was limited. They had no problem in embracing Jesus to do a healing of someone that's alive. But to raise someone from the dead, you know, death was considered like unchangeable. You know, once you die, that's it. But not for God. And so they saw Jesus as, yeah, you can heal a sick person, but make sure you heal them before they die, because once they die, that's it. And so this was to increase their faith. And they saw that Jesus was more powerful, God was more powerful than death. irregardless of how long Lazarus was in the grave. I mean, his body was prepared for burial. It was wrapped. It was prepared for burial. And so as soon as the body dies, it starts to decay. And he'd been dead for 4 days. And they were anticipating that once they rolled that stone away from the grave, that there was going to be a stench because he'd been in there for 4 days, which says that even after dying and decomposing for 4 days, it's like, you know, Jesus still raises him. So it makes this miracle even more incredible. It wasn't just raising someone that died. He rose someone that was decomposing. And so we see at this point why Jesus waited, because he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, that he was going to do a greater work than everybody was expecting. They were hoping and expecting for a healing, and he did something greater that they did not see in the moment. All they saw was, we don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. He knew, because he says, well, I'm going to do something greater. So there was what they wanted to see, but God wanted to do something better that they could not see. And so this situation occurred because it was the only way to where this could be revealed and this could be addressed. And sometimes God does things a certain way because it's the only way that we're going to get it. Have you ever ridden a roller coaster? Okay, most of you have. Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, it goes up, it goes down, it goes from side to side. Some of them actually do a loop-de-loop, right? So you're like totally upside down. There is this roller coaster at Santa Cruz, at the beach boardwalk there. And years ago, I mean, long time ago, me and a friend of mine, we go down to Santa Cruz. And we go to the boardwalk for the day, and we hit the roller coaster at a certain time of day to where we were able to go on and get off and get right back on and go on it again and go right back on and get on it again. And we did this over and over and over and over again. Now, one of the things about riding that particular ride is that when you do so many trips in such a quick succession as that, is that you're able to anticipate everything that's going to happen in the ride. You know when it's going to go up, you know when it's going to go down, you know how it's going to be, you know when it's going to go to the left, you know when it's going to go to the right, and if you're going to go upside down, you know when that's going to happen, and you can prepare for this. You can brace yourselves, you can shift your weight, you know, you can hang on at certain points, you can ease off at others. You know how to do that as this thing is going through its paces. Now, if you're like me, okay, of late, many people feel like they have been on a roller coaster. Some may feel like you've been riding it longer than of late, with all this going on in your lives, with all the twists and the turns and things like that, if not being turned totally upside down right now. Some of us have been riding one here at the church. I mean, there's what goes on in our lives out there, but there's also been roller coasters going on in here. And some of those roller coaster rides were going on ever before COVID even started. Some were going on, obviously, during COVID, and some have been going on since we've reopened. For those of us who work for the church, you know, we're kind of locked in, you know, to the roller coaster. It's like we sit down for the ride, and the bar comes down, and we're locked in. We can't get out, you know, because we work here. Unless, of course, someone says, you know what, that's it. I've had enough of this, and I'm out of here. No, don't get nervous. I'm not saying that, you know, for me. But with volunteers, you know, people that volunteer in the church, you know, volunteers have a lot of freedom. You know, volunteers don't really have anything tying them down. You know, if you say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, you know, you don't lose a paycheck because you're not getting paid because you're a volunteer. You know, you don't lose benefits, you know, other than the eternal benefits, but you know, volunteers don't really have anything tying them down. You guys have a lot of freedom. Except for that question of, well, if I want to jump off the ride right now, then there is, of course, what does God say about this? And for some, their commitment to God and where they are with that commitment has such a strong hold for them that will dictate what they do. And so they may not leave because of that. Hopefully that's the same thing for employees of the church as well. But for Christians in this life, as well as life in the church, you know, life has been and can be like a roller coaster. Sometimes God protects us from the roller coasters of life, and sometimes God has us ride them. And sometimes God has us ride them over and over again. And sometimes there's a little turn into one side, a little turn into the other, and sometimes we are turned totally upside down. Is anybody like relating to this? Okay, yeah. And he does this to teach us, he does this to equip us and to prepare us for the things that we will step into in the future. Some of the things we're being prepared for are things that we don't see right now. Nor would we believe it if someone told us. And as we're on these rides, as we're going back and forth and we're going upside down, you know, there are some rides that you can go on and they will tell you when you get on the ride. Make sure that you're secure in there, that bar is holding you down. You know, if you have items, put them under your seat, you know, because when you go upside down, stuff may fall out. And sometimes God has us on these rides so that when he turns us upside down, he wants some things to fall out because we won't let go of them. And so he turns us upside down to shake some of those things off. You know, God started preparing me for ministry as a pastor when my father became a pastor. We weren't expecting that. In fact, my father was the last one in the family to come into a relationship with Jesus. Out of my brother and sister and I and my mother, my dad was the last one. But I'll tell you, when he came into that relationship with the Lord, he grew really fast. And all of a sudden, he's going to be a pastor and we're going off to seminary. Now, he didn't know how to transition our family for a whole new way of life. But you know what? He didn't know how to transition himself for a whole new way of life either. You know, to go from a layperson, and by the way, a layperson is churchy talk for, you know, someone that's not a professional, you know, paid church worker, right? And so he's going from being a layperson to being a pastor. And it was an adjustment. And it was a really hard adjustment to go through. And we didn't go through it just once. We went through it over and over again as he went from one church to another church to another church, having to adjust to moving again, having to adjust to a new church, having to adjust to a new school, having to adjust to all those things, saying goodbye to the old and embracing this new thing. And I don't embrace the new very well. I hate change. I talk about change a lot because I appreciate change. I see the value of change, but personally, I hate it. I go through it, but I go kicking and screaming all the way. The problem was we were locked into this because my dad's following God and we're following him. And so we're kind of all locked into this ride. And back then when he started this, I had no idea that God said, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to do with Bill, and Jim, this is what I'm going to do with you. He's going to go into this thing, and you're going to learn from this, because guess what you're going to do someday? And it was not on my radar at all. In fact, people would say, Jim, are you going to become a pastor like your father? And I was like, no, no, no. So one of the things that one might say is, well, why should this be so hard? Well, because God is working on us. You know, as we serve, God is working on us inwardly. And God is using people and situations to refine us while we're serving. It's kind of like precious metal. You know, we start to serve and we let God work in our lives and he starts to kind of melt us down. And he's going to pour us into a whole new mold. There's what we're used to looking like, and he's going, oh, I'm going to pour you into a whole other mold, and you're going to look totally different. And so as he's melting us down, things in us that don't need to be there anymore are getting burned up, and other things are rising to the surface. They're being exposed to be lifted out. And we're being brought into a place to where we are being fitted for what we're going to be going into, what we're going to be doing. Now, some people might say, well, you know, that's not fair. Well, Jesus' life wasn't fair. Here's the Son of God, okay? Here is someone who is totally sinless, right? His life was hard. People argued with him. People didn't understand what he was saying. His own disciples seemed to really not get it until after he was gone. People wanted to kill him. The religious leaders were always challenging him. I mean, the religious leaders. They were seeking to trap him. They were seeking to discredit him. And finally, they arrest him, and that was done illegally. And then they had the Romans kill him. And he's the Son of God. But he's also our example. Jesus was the first roller coaster rider. And so we learn from his life how to ride the roller coaster. I wrote an article a few weeks ago about how my plans for a particular day were totally ruined. I mean, that day, everything went wrong. The thing about those problems that occurred was they were with my plans. And God allowed things to go as they did with my plans. But God was all over everything that happened because God allowed it. And for a while, nothing made sense. And we're in a time right now where nothing makes sense. You know, what we see in the world doesn't make sense, you know, and as things trickle down from what is happening globally and with our leaders, and this all trickles down into our individual lives, things still don't make sense. We have reports as to some of the whys, and we get those, and assuming we even trust them, you know, even after we get explanations on some of these things, these things still don't make sense. And some of these things that are going on and what we're hearing about them are impacting us in ways that are not good. They're impacting how we see things. They're affecting, you know, where our minds go in a situation. And they can open doors to fear, they can open doors to paranoia, and they can open doors to discouragement. Instead of looking at God and trusting and standing on faith, and the things that are going on right now, the roller coasters of life, are exposing us, they're revealing things, and they're shaking things off of us. Things that they might have been okay at one point, but for the time we're entering into, they don't belong now. And these things are in us. And they're showing us, and these things are showing us where they are in us. Because we need to see them. We need to see them. We either need to take them off or let him shed them off so that he can be, so that we can be what he wants us to be now. As I said last week with my money, you know, when talking about this day that went all wrong, you know, I had my plan. I had my plan for that money that, you know, that I talked about last week. This particular day, I had my plan for the day. But God had another plan. So on a particular day, just this was just a couple of weeks ago. I had one meeting that day. And it was in the middle of the day, and so I thought, well, you know, I got some errands to run, and I was going to do them after the meeting, but I thought, you know, why don't I just get an early start on this and run these errands now, and that way I'll have more time in the afternoon, because this was a Friday, and Friday and Saturdays are dedicated to sermon writing and getting ready for Sunday. And so the more time that I can have to work on that stuff, the better, because the more time I have to work on it, the more comfortable I will be. And so I thought, hey, why don't I start working on this stuff earlier so I have more afternoon? I'll feel more comfortable with this. So the first thing I had to do is I had to go to the market and I had to pick a couple of things up. So I walk into my market and everything I was looking for was not there. Everything that I was looking for was out of stock. I had never seen this with certain items before. I mean, every potato was gone. Not one. There wasn't even a bag. There's that area where they put all the loose ones at. There wasn't one there. Nothing. I've never seen that before, ever. And guess what I needed to get that day? I needed to get potatoes, and there's no potatoes. I mean, there was other things I needed to get, too, and it was the same thing. They were gone. And I'm going, like, I've never seen this. I'm used to seeing toilet paper not there, but I wasn't looking for toilet paper that day. So, you know, last week I talked about, are you reacting or responding? Well, guess what your pastor did? He started to react. I couldn't find what I wanted, and so guess what? I started to get irritated. And so my next thing I had to do, I went to the bank because it was payday. I'm gonna take money out for stuff that I need it for. And I go to the bank, and I walk into the bank, and I notice that something is amiss. And I'm thinking, oh, no. So I get to the window, and I said, I want to withdraw this much. And she said, I'm sorry, our system is down, and we can't give you any money right now. My plans had been interfered with, and I got madder. So I got to go to my meeting. I'm like, great. You know, I run two errands. You know, I'm accomplishing nothing. Great. Wonderful. You know, so I shove it aside. I go to my meeting. My meeting went fine. But then I had to go to the doctor after that. Now, I had spoken to my doctor the last time I saw him. He said, you know, you're at that point in life where you need to get a pneumonia shot and you need to get a shingle shot. And so I got the shingle shot already taken care of. But I had to get the pneumonia shot. And so I said, well, do I need to make an appointment? He goes, no, you just come on in here anytime you want. We've got it. Just come in, just walk in, we'll give it to you. So I'm talking to his receptionist to schedule my next appointment, and I thought, I should ask about this. And I said, hey, the doctor said that I need to get a pneumonia shot, so do I need to make an appointment or can I just walk in? She goes, no, you need to make an appointment. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to make an appointment. She goes, well, we don't have any of the pneumonia vaccine right now. So then I go, well, so she goes, well, you know, she goes, we'll order it, and we'll let you know when it's in, and then we'll make the appointment. I said, okay, that works. So the next day they call me, and they said, hi, this is Dr. So-and-so's office, and we want you to know that we have ordered the pneumonia vaccine, and it will be in a week. And so you can come in next week, and we'll give you the shot. And I said, well, do you want to set a time? And they go, yeah, and we set this time for 2 o'clock. And so this particular day was this day where everything's going wrong. So I go to the doctor's office, and I'm expecting to walk in and get my pneumonia shot. And I walk up to the door, and there's signs on every window and every door. No appointment, no entry. And I'm going, okay. So I walk in, I go up to the receptionist window, and I said, hi, I'm here to get my pneumonia shot. And she goes, we don't have any of the pneumonia vaccine here. And I said, no, you don't understand. I talked to so-and-so a week ago from here, and they said they were ordering it. It was going to be in today, and that's why I'm here, is to get my shot. And she goes, we don't have any of the vaccine here, and nobody has ordered anything. Yeah, that's what I said. What? So then I said, no, you don't understand. I talked to somebody here. I said, I'm here for my appointment to get my shot. She goes, we have no record of your appointment. I'm like, so I walk out of the doctor's office. Oh, she goes, you can just get out of the pharmacy and get it. So I'm thinking, okay, I wasn't planning on a trip to the pharmacy today. That's not on my plan. Now I'm seeing my afternoon as having more things to it, which is taking away from the things that I wanted to do to be comfortable. So I walk out of the doctor's office, and I'm standing at the crosswalk waiting for the light to change, and I'm thinking, everything is going wrong today. What is going on here? I make my plans and nothing's working. And this trip to the doctor, this really doesn't make any sense. I mean, I planned, I called, I made arrangements, and nothing worked, nothing happened. I felt like I was talking to two different doctors in two different offices when it was one doctor in one office. And I started to ask this question, what is going on? Everything I'm trying to do today is being blocked. And I start to ask this question of why? What is really going on here? And I asked God. I said, God, what is going on? Now, when you're all angry and worked up, and I was ticked, our hearing is not always the best at that moment. Okay? And so I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing God. Okay, at that moment. And it's at this moment that the enemy slips in. And this is what it sounds like. Okay, it's like, ooh, stockouts in the market. The bank shut down. It's a conspiracy. All those stories that I've been hearing. And I'll tell you, I really do try to stay balanced in everything. So I hear a lot of stuff from a lot of different people, and I just, I hear it, but I just, like, okay, that just goes over here. And so all that stuff that I've been hearing, whether I had embraced it or not, it's all flooding into my head, and my thinking goes like this. Oh, my gosh, it's true. It's true. It's the last days. It's the end times. All those things that I've heard, they're flooding into my mind in an instant. It's the mark of the beast. I'm in a place where I'm not going to be able to buy anything. I'm going to starve. They're going to herd me off to a camp and isolate me from everybody. I mean, this is where my brain is going in an instant. And I can feel the fear setting in. I can feel the panic beginning to set in. And again, this is happening in an instant. I mean, like that. And then I think, the market I shop at, there's another branch of it just down the road. Maybe I'll go try over there. So I get in the car and I go over there. And I walk in and they've got everything I'm looking for. In abundance, mass quantities. And I'm going like, okay. So I get my stuff and I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And I head for the pharmacy to get my pneumonia shot. And on the way to the pharmacy, I go by my bank. And I think, why don't I just stop in there and just see what it looks like in there? So I go in there, and the systems are back up and running. People are walking out of there with money, and I'm like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so I get all that stuff, and I head for the pharmacy. Now I'm feeling pretty good. So I go in to the pharmacy, and I said, I need to get a pneumonia shot. And I get this shot pretty quickly. And, I mean, no long wait. I get this thing. And not only do I get it, But I find that my insurance covers it completely, so there's no copay, there's nothing. So, hey, that's what I said. And so I'm like, now I'm feeling like really good, you know? And so while I'm waiting to get the shot, I called my landlord. He'd been working at my house, and he had to replace something. And I wanted to call him and just, you know, kind of see what the progress was. And I wanted to thank him for the work that he was doing. And he told me, he said, I had to replace this one particular thing. And he asked me a question about kind of some of the things that I do. And, he said, you know, when you water the lawn, does the water hit the house? And I said, well, yeah. And he goes, well, that's what caused the problem to where I had to replace this one thing, because I think it was water damage. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'll take care of that. I'll change that. And all of a sudden, it was like once he said, and he said, okay, well, I'll take care of this. And I said, okay, I'll change my thing, and we're good. And I hung up. And all of a sudden, I felt absolutely horrible. I went from feeling really good, like when you're in the roller coaster and you're going up, and all of a sudden we went straight down. Instantly, I felt absolutely horrible. I felt like I felt like these feelings of shame came in. You know, I mean, feelings of failure. I felt like I had been impaled on the spear of failure. I felt like I had failed. I felt like I was not a good steward of the house that God has entrusted me with, you know, that He has blessed me with. I felt stupid. I felt humbled. I mean, I wasn't just taken down a peg. I felt like I got cut down to the roots in an instant. I felt small. I felt inept. And I've got to go home now, and I've got to work on stuff for Sunday feeling like that. Now, I'll tell you, I go through a lot of warfare. And so pushing through stuff and working on stuff for Sunday is not new for me, but I don't enjoy it. And so as the days went on, these feelings that had been kind of dogging my steps started to kind of gradually diminish to a certain point. And as I spent time reflecting and praying, In the days that followed, what I got from the Lord was, Jim, you are under attack. But this is being allowed to do a good work in you. And so He was working on my heart. He was working on my mind, just as He was with the money. But He was working in a different way. And He said, this is also training as well as refining. You know, it's like the money hit me in one area of my life, and then this stuff was hitting me in another. It's just like when we do one type of an activity, and then we do a different type of activity, and we work a different set of muscles with this one, and we work in a whole another set of muscles with this one. And this is exactly what happens when we're on the roller coaster. You know, we go to the right, it works these spiritual muscles over here. We go to the left, it works these spiritual muscles over here. We go through the loop-de-loop, it shakes something loose that we didn't know that was there that would not be seen on just the straightaway part. And so these different things that were hitting me in different areas and affecting these different parts in me. Allowing things to happen to work things in me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. You know, I've spoken many times about the pandemic, and I've talked about the shutdown and what God is doing in it. And I've said that God is doing a reset. And I have given word pictures of this. But when I say that reset, what does that look like in our lives when God does a reset? One way is that it's like what I'm describing, what was happening to me. But it's also resetting our world. God is resetting our world, and God is working on each of us individually as well. And God is using situations and creating situations and working in specific things to bring us into His order and to bring things in our lives into order, as well as building us up and tearing some things down and replacing one thing with something else. And for months, I have been riding this emotional, situational roller coaster. I mean, I'm encountering things that have not made sense. I have good days where things are running like clockwork. Some days it's even miraculous. And then the next day, everything is an absolute disaster. And when I would pray, all I would get is, "You're under attack. This is being allowed." And that God was using it to do a work in me, in refining me, in teaching me, in growing me. But these things would continue to happen. The good, then the bad. The bad would take me by surprise, and the bad would make no sense. Bad that I didn't understand. But God was there. And He was with me in the midst of it all. See, God is so incredibly active in this time. But sometimes things don't make sense. But there is a reason. We just don't know it yet. And part of the process of God is going through things with Him when we don't have the answers. Because that's part of the process. The answers will come eventually, but not until God does what God wants to do in the silence. And sometimes He does things in the silence first before He does the other things. We've been covering Job in the Bible study. And I want to look at Job for a minute here. This is chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. It says, "Now, on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen are plowing and the donkeys are feeding besides them. And the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped." Worshipped. Now, if you had incredible losses, would you worship? He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. So, back then, livestock was like money, and Job had lots of livestock, lots of different types of animals. He had them in great numbers. He had servants and all these kinds of things. And so these things were allowed to happen to literally deplete his wealth. So, all of a sudden, one after another, he's losing these different areas of his wealth. And then he ends up losing his children. Suddenly, unexpectedly, one after another. I mean, can you imagine just one servant after another coming and saying, "Hey, you just lost this. Hey, you just lost this. Hey, you just lost this." Now, he went from being an extremely wealthy man to being bankrupt. And yet, he does not blame God. going down to chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores and boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." So Job was a good man. In fact, if we were to go back to the earlier part of the book of Job, God says of Job that he's blameless, that he's upright, that he feared God, turning away from evil. And after all of his losses, he then loses his health, and he's got these sores, you know, from his feet all the way to the top of his head, and he's suffering. He's had all these losses, and now he's lost his health. But he still holds fast to his integrity. He still holds on to who he is as a godly man, in spite of all of that. It says in chapter 2, verse 11, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, that they came each one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, and they made an appointment together to come and to sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept, and each of them tore his robe. They threw dust over their heads toward the sky. They sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great." So this whole thing about tearing clothes and throwing their dust in the sky, this is what they did. This was their custom back then. When they were upset about something, they would tear their clothes and throw dust in the sky and stuff like that. It was a sign of anger and grief. And so they've heard about the plight of their friend here, and so they come to support him. And they sit with him for 7 days and seven nights. Now, we read that and we think, boy, that's nice. What a great bunch of friends these guys are. But then we get to chapter 4, verse 4. "Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you're dismayed. Is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright destroyed?" So what they're saying is this, is, Job, bad things happen to bad people. So all this disaster and calamity that has come on you, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned somewhere. So just confess your sin, repent, so that God can restore you. Now, if you had lost everything, if you were physically suffering, how would you take counsel like that? I'd be like, there's the door. Let it hit you on the way out. I mean, it was like, you know, his friends, and you read through the chapters of Job, you know, the large body of the book is this dialogue between him and his friends as they keep badgering him over and over and over again in their misguided attempt to help him. Now, when you get to the end of the book, Job is restored, and Job is affirmed by God, and his friends, who had become his persecutors, were proven wrong. And Job grew through this experience that he went through. He grew in humility, he grew in his faith, he grew in his confidence in God, he grew in his knowledge of God. You know, everything that he knew, everything that he held on to was challenged and questioned and attacked. And this came by the people that said they were his friends. And this was allowed. God could have stopped it, but it was allowed because God knew Job. And God knew what Job would do. He knew how much Job could take. And so he set limits. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. When we go down to chapter 2, verse 6. So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life." So God knew what Job could endure. And God knew that Job would remain true. He knew Job. He created and designed Job. And God knows each one of us. And he knows what we can endure. He knows our breaking points. He knows everything about us. And the things that we're all facing and the things that we're all going through right now is because God knows you. And he knows what you can each endure. And God is doing a teaching and a refining in every single one of us. Whether you're sitting here physically or you're watching me on a video, God is doing something in each and every one of us. That's why we're all going through this. In fact, he's doing this with the whole planet at the same time. Now, that's really significant. When was the last time you heard of God doing something on a global scale all at the same time? Well, I think of a man with a boat with a lot of animals on it. And God is developing things in us through the challenges of the time. And God is doing things with us in the silence. Because do we not all have questions right now? Do we all not understand stuff right now? Yeah. And God is doing stuff in that. That's part of the process. And so in this time when we don't have the answers, and it's confusing, you know, we've got to lean on our faith. And guess what? Faith is grown by standing on faith. Faith is grown by walking in faith. You know, our faith and trust are developed by standing on them. And God is going through, God is taking us through these things, not only just to do a work in us, but also he's doing stuff in other people too. And he is doing things in us, and we are going to end up ministering to other people from what God is doing with us. But we don't see that right now. But he does. And he's doing stuff in us right now for the future. Our discomfort and the discomfort of other people is being used for a time that we don't see yet. Now, I share all this today because for weeks I thought that I was the only one going through all of this. I think I said this last week too. I meet my brother every other week for coffee. My brother and I have always been very close, and many years ago, he moved to Australia, and so we were out of touch for like 20 years, and he just moved back to the States 10 years ago, and so we committed to meet like every other week for coffee and reconnect and share what's going on with each other and stuff like this. And so I'm telling my brother about all this stuff that's going on. And you know what he says to me? He says, "Everything you're describing is exactly what I've been going through." And that's what I did. I go, "Huh, really?" And as time went on, I'm hearing from other people that they're going through the same things. And it's not just that we're going through the pandemic together, but everybody seems to be riding this roller coaster. And we're all being worked on together. We're all being used together. You know, I mean, how many of us are being messed with in an area where we want to see something? And what we want doesn't happen, or happen the way that we want it. And the thing is, what we want to see isn't bad. what it is that God says, there's what you want to see. Yeah, that's good, but you know what? I want to do something better. And we don't like it because it's messing with our plan and what we want to see. And we don't see the better yet. All we see is right now. And we think that what we want is best. And God says, yeah, you've settled for that and you've locked into that. But God says, I got something better. And the better is more than us getting what we want, the way that we want it. And God says, I'm going to use what you want to do something with you that is better than what you want. And I'm going to do something in you that is better. And it will last a lot longer and have a far greater impact than that thing that you want. And so these things that are happening to us are things that we don't understand. They're things that we don't like. And God is developing stuff in us with that. And these things, these better things, can only come when we get exposed, when things get kicked up, because we need to see them. And in some cases, it's because we haven't seen them. But sometimes, we did see them, and you know what we did? We saw them, and we put them down, and we covered them over, and we said, I don't want to see that. I don't want to look at it. I don't need to see that. And I certainly don't want to see it for what it really is. But we need to cooperate with God. Because God is saying, you don't need that now. So God wants to trade in what we've had for what he wants to give us instead that is so much better. And it's better than we could ever realize. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. You are all his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So walking with the Lord in everything, listening to him, you know, seeing him as he confronts our wants and our plans, because he wants to replace them with his plan. And his plans not only for me, but for the people that he is going to use me to impact. You know, he's doing this as we walk with him. And as he does this, he's confronting our control. He's confronting our comfort levels. He's confronting our security, as well as the things that we want. And he messes with these things to change these things to where he has control. To where we give him control and we find our comfort in him, as well as our security, which comes when we surrender to him and let him have control of us and let him have all that is in us, as well as with our things. He works on our things, he works on our situations and plans to get our hearts so that he can do a work in there. As a result, he changes us, and he changes us on a deep level, and that's why some of us have been going through things that we don't have answers for and that we don't understand, is because God is working on you on a deep level. It's a subconscious level. All you may know is how you feel. You feel stirred up. You don't feel comfortable. You hate life right now. And anybody that's looking at you. And it's because, and that's all you know. It's because God is doing something on a very deep level in you. And all you know is what you feel. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is so that you know that you're not the only one going through it. Because when when we go through stuff and we feel like we're alone in it, it feels worse. But if we know that I'm not the only one going through it, it helps us. It's like, I'm not alone. There's not something wrong with me. And let me say this too, okay? You know, me talking about God working in us and doing all this stuff in us is not because there's something wrong with you, okay? It's that God wants to make you better. Sometimes God works in the dark. And the light shines brighter in the darkness. The work that he wants to do in you shines better in the dark. Some things can only grow in the dark. There are certain things that can only be developed, that can only be grown in the dark, where you can't see, because that's part of the process. If you get the answers too soon, if you get the answers at the wrong point in the process, it negates what God is trying to do in the process. Now, the devil likes to keep us in the dark, but he likes to keep us in the dark to trip us up and discourage us. But when God does something in the dark, it is to improve us and make us better. So, even though you don't understand, even though you feel like you're being turned upside down, and you can't see, just keep coming to him. Keep talking to him. Because, you know, he wants to be there for you, and he is there for you. One of the things that we're covering with Job right now is the fact that Job doesn't see God. But it's obvious God is there. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless that woman. No. But he is there for you, and he was there for Job, but Job couldn't see him in his current situation. But God was all over his situation. He wants you to cling to him in this time. He wants you to trust him in this time. You know, again, leaning on that faith that is being developed in the time of challenge and in a time of being in the unknown. But also, it's talking with one another because God uses us with one another. And there's a comfort that comes in knowing, like I said, that you're not the only one that's going through this. Because like me, there are those messages that come in just like the messages that Job's friends were giving him. This is Job 4:7. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent. Or where were the upright destroyed? In other words, you know, Job, bad things happen to bad people, so you must be bad. But if we are not the only ones going through it, and we're sharing with one another, we see that we're not the only one going through it. And it encourages us to go, wow, maybe God is doing something. Because if it's just me, I may say to myself, you know, I must be bad. You know what that is? That's the voice of shame. Shame says, I'm no good. But if it's us, then it's, you know what, I'm not alone. Maybe there's something bigger going on. And again, I share all this in the hope that it will lead you to a greater understanding and maybe even bring some revelation and comfort to you and encourage you. Now, I'm just about done here, okay? I know I'm going longer today than I normally do, but I think this is like really, really important. So I'm just about done here, so just bear with me. But if you know you're not alone, then you can also talk to one another. And you know that there's people that you can talk to because you know that you're not by yourself in this. And so we need to know that, and we need to be talking to one another. You know, there's this statement that came out when the pandemic started. And I got to tell you, I hate the statement. Every time I hear it, I cringe. We're all in this together. I hate that statement. I mean, in some ways it's true in terms of the whole world going through a pandemic at the same time. Yeah, we're all in together. But you know what? We are not together. The world is more divided now than it has ever been. on so many different fronts. Yeah, we may be together in this, but we are not together. But in contrast, we, the people of the family of God, are together. You know, we're going through these things together. You know, as a family, you know, we are connected by Jesus. You know, he has saved us, and he lives in us. And not only is he working on us, he is working in us and through us to touch other people, to touch one another, to help us with where we are. And what he can do with us as we help one another, God is not only helping other people through what we do, but then God is doing a work in us as we are used by him. You know, in this time since the pandemic started, we have been isolated. In fact, isolation was forced on us. Now, there are those people that are more introverted, and for them, isolation comes easy. But for other people, this has been a really, really hard time. And I would say even for those that like to be alone, I think it's probably challenged them too. But God uses us to build community, you know, and to have fellowship with one another. And whether we build a fellowship around a theme, like we're going to have a fellowship today, you know, and that's built around a theme. But the thing about it is we also have fellowship with one another in other ways too. And so as we support one another in the trials, God is using us as we go through this. See, isolation is a tactic of the enemy. It's a battle strategy. Isolate and conquer. Divide and conquer. And it's one that he really likes to use. But unity, our unity is a powerful force, especially when it's embraced by God's people. You know, when we've looked at Nehemiah over the past weeks and about their building the wall. You know, they built that wall in less than 2 months because they had God's help, yeah, and they were following God's will, but also they worked together. And while they were achieving this, the enemy was attacking them and ridiculing them, and they even tried to isolate their leader. But they were not successful because they worked together. And God is building us here. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in our times together. You know, when we go into the worship part of the morning, you know, people are praying for one another. People are getting healed. People are giving prophetic words. We're seeing this stuff happen in this place. God is doing something with us here. And so as God is building this, rebuilding this place, he's also building each one of us. And so be encouraged as we go through the roller coasters, as we are in this time of not understanding and seeing everything, be encouraged. God is here. We're seeing it. Psalm 23. It's a short psalm. It's only 6 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is leading us, and he's guiding us in the paths of righteousness for his glory. But sometimes that path takes us through hard times. But he is with us in the hard times. He is guiding us through those valleys. He is comforting us through those valleys. And God will bring us to victory. This passage doesn't say that we stay in the valley. The valley is something we move through. And we will be blessed. and loving kindness will follow us because God is with us. So, what is God's plan in all of this? You know, he's building our house. And as I said, you know, we're seeing it. But a building is only as good as its foundation. Now, we have two foundations here. The first and foremost and the most important one is Jesus is our rock. He is what we build on. Okay? But there is the foundation that God builds on. And God builds on our foundation, meaning that we all make up the foundation of Community of Grace. And so God is shoring up our foundation so that he can build on it. See, we build on Jesus. And God builds on what Jesus does in us. And that's part of what's been going on right now. You've all been brought together. You have all come and assembled in this place, under the roof of this house. And you are the foundation that God wants to build on. And so what he's doing right now is he is testing the foundation. He's exposing the things in the foundation. He's revealing things about the foundation. We're being corrected. We're getting offended. Because he wants to expose those things and address those things so that we can be a strong, firm foundation that he can build on. And that's what he's doing in you, individually. And that's what he's doing with us together. And as I said, I say all this to you to encourage you. And I hope this you know, to so you feel supported, but also so that you know how to pray. Because we need not only be communicating with one another, we need to be talking to God. We need to be committed to him, and we need to be committed to this process. And we need to be teachable, and we need to be correctable, and we need to be humble. Now, let me just say this, and I'll end with this. Another important reason to be talking to one another is what I experienced this week. This week, I went to the leaders' conference up at Bethel Church in Reading. This was the first in-person leaders' conference they've had since the pandemic. I go up there. There were 33 countries represented. There was 28 states represented. That room was full. We're talking like 1,000 people. And everyone was going through the same thing. All over the world, all across the country, everyone was going through the same things. And the stuff that I'm telling you is what they were talking about all week long. They were talking about the personnel challenges. Because again, this is a leaders' conference, so people are there who represent ministries and are pastoring churches and stuff like this. And so they're all talking about their challenges. They were all going through personnel challenges, changes in their staff, people being moved around, changed in positions, people taking on new things, people taking on more things, everybody in adjustment. And no one had it all together. No one. They were all like, you know, we're going through this right now. I just got this added to my plate, and I'm working through it, and we lost these people, and God moved them over here. So we had to reshuffle here. Same thing with them up there. They've got, I think, a staff of 700, and they're going through changes, and they told us about some of the changes. And God's doing this everywhere. You know, roles changing, adjustments to things that were going on, you know, and having to do things in a new way. facing difficulties, feeling isolated. I heard that over and over again. It is so good to be together. This is them saying that up there. You know, they had services. You know, they were just streaming at first. Then they went to outdoor meetings. I mean, picture a church that has, I think they have 5 services. You know, we're talking a mega church. You know, we're talking thousands of people. And they were doing this outside. Now, if you've never been to Reading before, in the summer, it gets to be 120 degrees. In the winter, they get snow. And they were doing outdoor meetings. They were talking about bundling up in blankets, you know, wearing multiple coats, you know, doing these things. And they said, you know what? Everybody came. They did not see a drop in attendance during all of this, but they were meeting under adverse conditions. They were facing challenges. They were facing difficulties. They said throughout the week, everything that I have been saying for the last almost 2 years now, they said everything I've been saying. The guy that I went with, all throughout the conference, I was grabbing him by the shoulder and shaking him, going, are you hearing this right now? I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. It's like, I knew what I knew. But again, there was that power of hearing it from these people in these positions and saying, oh my gosh, they're saying the same thing I'm saying. Man, it just lifted my spirits in ways I cannot tell you. And they hit like every area with me, everything. I couldn't believe it. I think half the time my jaw was on the floor and I was dragging it behind me as I was walking around. I felt so incredibly validated. See, we're not just in a reset. We're going through a transformation. The whole world is going through a transformation. The whole church world is going through a transformation from what it was to what it is now. And that's why it's the new normal, because God is changing everything. And so if you're waiting for the old to come back, it's not coming back. And the reason it's not coming back, because we are in a metamorphosis. And we are all being changed. And once you're changed, you can't go back. That's why the old is gone. We're in the process of being transformed. You can't untransform once you're transformed. And so we have gone, you know, through this journey, and we're at a certain point now. And the thing about it is what we've been going through, there are things that have gotten us to where we are now. And as we go through this thing, things are falling off because they got us to where we are. And now they have served their purpose, and now they're gone. But some of us are still trying to hang on to these things because we're used to having them. We like having them, and God is saying, its purpose is over. And he's dropping it off, because if he doesn't drop it off, we'd never let go of it. They had their day. God is simplifying things, and we're trying to hang on to things, and we're trying to hang on to that difficulty. We're trying to hang on to all that clutter, all that stuff, and God is trying to simplify everything so that we can move forward. And again, it's like the roller coaster. When you hit the loop-de-loop, and when you go upside down, everything falls out that isn't nailed down. The old ways, the old things in us that have had their day and they need to go. But God is doing this on a global scale. I mean, just really grab a hold of that. The whole world going through the same kind of stuff at the same time. If that doesn't cause one to stop and reevaluate, I don't know what does. And the attacks are being allowed, but they're being allowed to teach us and to show us things, to show us our vulnerabilities so we can shut those doors, because those doors have been open. I mean, I could say so much more, but I'm going to do it in the weeks to come. But But what we need to focus on right now is where our fight really is. See, in going back to my day, it really wasn't about my agenda. It was about my heart. It was about my mind. It was about God doing things in these areas. Now, we are still in a hard time. Okay, the roller coasters are still going on. But God is so incredibly active right now. And the question that I have for you is, do you see Him? Do you see Him right now? Do you see what He's doing right now? And do you see what He's doing in you? And each one of us needs to ask that question. Do I see what God is doing in me right now? Because everyone's in it. You know? Your focus, where your focus has been, your plans, you not getting what you want. You know, we need to be talking with God. We need to be in this time not only looking and seeing what God is doing, we also need to be looking inwardly. This is a time to be looking inward and cooperating with Him. And talking with others. Because talking with others is going to encourage us. But also, as you talk with one another, God just might use you. We're instruments on the roller coaster. But either way, whether you're on, just riding the ride and hanging on for dear life, or God is using you on the ride, be listening. Be talking with Him. And look inward. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for what You're doing. And I know that what little I got this week is just the smallest fraction of what You can do and of what You want to do. I know that there is so much more. For all of us, corporately, and for each one of us individually, there is so much more. This time shows us just how serious You are. That You would just stop the world with what You're doing. God, I just pray that we would take advantage of everything You're doing right now. That we would look inside as deep as we humanly possibly can, Lord, that we would let You take us to deeper areas that we even know that are there. Lord, that You would just take us on as many roller coaster rides as you can and shake off everything that You want to shake off. But I pray that we would learn everything that we need to learn, that we would grow and develop in every area we need to grow and develop, that we would let You trade out our will for Your best. Are good for that something better that You have. That isn't just for us individually. It's for those that we get to share it with. That we don't even know we're going to be talking to. God, I just thank You. God, just come have Your way with us. And we just give You glory. You're the God of everything, and You're still God in the pandemic, just as much as You ever were. Thank You, God. Let me just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Facebook people, before I leave you, let me just ask you these questions that I've posted. First question is, how has God been interfering with your plans, and what is He showing you and working on in you? The next question is, how many trips have you taken on God's roller coaster in the past 2 years, and what have you seen and learned? Do you see the doors that have been opened to you to the enemy, and do you know how to close them? How is God transforming you in this time, and what is hindering your transformation? And lastly, who do you need to connect with for support in this time that will help you get out of these times all that God is doing? So God bless you, and we'll see you here next week.